Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 2. I was at the house this afternoon praying about what the Lord had me to do tonight in the service. I was praying, I said, Lord, we need a word, we need a touch from heaven tonight. We need us, Lord, you to meet with us in a wonderful way. And I began to read. I read in Luke's account of the birth of Christ and Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. And the Lord began to nudge my heart out of chapter 2 about something actually just right before I left the house, out of chapter number 2 about the wise men. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 1 of chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. If you'll notice with me, back in verse 2, we find a very important word, and that would be the word worship. Very important. In fact, I would say probably nothing is more important in your life than worship. Amen. Now, it's not a matter of are you worshiping or not. The question is, what are you worshiping or who? Amen. Amen. And so the word worship appears in verse number 3. He said, we are come and are come to worship him. And then, of course, Herod made the statement in verse number 8 after he had sent them. The wise men said, Go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now we of course know that he had no intentions of worship. But he used the word worship as a trap. And then in verse number 11, the Bible says that there that when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with his mother and fell down and worshiped him. So three times the word worship appears in these 12 verses. Worship. I believe that God is setting before us a pattern. God is setting before us an example of what it means to worship God. I believe it would do me and you, all of us, good if we would do a Bible study on worship. I believe if we'd done a Bible study on worship, we will probably discover that we've done very little of it. Amen. Amen. I can't explain about what worship really is in detail, but I'm going to tell you, if you ever do it, you'll know you've done it. Amen. There's an element about worship that nobody will have to describe. You want to break out the dictionary. You'll know, amen, if you get at his feet. And there's Bible examples all from through the Bible. Genesis, I was thinking just now about Genesis, 22? When Abraham took Isaac and said, "We're going yonder to worship." And Abraham knew that that worship was going to involve a sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you, I believe we can draw the principle from that, that it's going to be costly to worship. Amen. You cannot worship God apart from a sacrifice. Amen. Now, we want it cheap, we want it free, but it's not going to come that way. Amen. Well, I mean, there's examples all through the Scripture of people that worship God. And the different aspects about it. But I want to point out some things here about the wise men. I want to preach tonight on the wise worship. The wise worship. Amen. Worshippers are wise people. And I believe I can just put it in good common country language. It's a very smart thing to do to worship God. Amen. I believe I can say today that it takes wisdom to worship God. I believe when we don't worship, it's because we're stupid. I mean, if the wise are worshipers, then if we're not worshiping, then we're performing in the area of ignorance, or, my friend, we're just plain stupid. Say amen right there. Amen. I want to be wise, don't you? The wise worship the King. The wise worship the Lord. Amen. Well, as I begin to look at this, and I mean, the Lord just began to show me some things real quick. Exactly what is worship as revealed by the wise men? And there's a lot that we could say about these wise men, but I just want to jot them down. And I did. I just jotted them down here. The first thing that I noticed that's required for worship is, number one, and these are going to be convicting, so we're probably not going to do much shouting. Number one, they knew to worship God, number one, they must remove the distance. Brother Craig, Lord, give me this probably in a matter of less than 5 minutes before I walked out the door. Amen. I mean, I've been studying a while, but the Lord showed me what He wanted me to preach right before I left the door. Amen. I thought we was just going to come and sing tonight and testify or whatever. But I want you to know, they came, the Bible said in verse number 1, that behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now somebody informed me that I've read after said that it was approximately anywhere between 500 and 1,000 miles that they had traveled. But they did not worship Him at a distance. They knew that if they were going to worship, they were going to have to remove the distance. And boy, if that's not up to date, if that's not on time, if that right there doesn't describe why most people don't worship God, is because we're not close enough. You can't worship God at a distance. You've got to get close. These wise men, Brother Silas, knew that if they're going to worship God, they're going to have to get close to Him. Brother Ivan, they knew that if they were going to worship God, they're going to have to get in His presence. Amen. You can't worship unless you get in His presence. And that would tell me, Brother Craddock, that most churches don't ever worship because they never have the presence of God. They've got to remove the distance. And I want you to notice, they're the ones that did the removing. And when you remove the distance, dear friend, that word "from" in verse number 1, they came from the east. You know what that word "from" identifies? You're going to have to leave some things. If you're going to close the distance and draw nigh to Him, get in His presence, amen, I want to tell you, amen. Guess what, dear friend? You're going to have to leave some things. Now, I know that's not popular, and I know you'll never hear that on none of the telecasts on television, amen. I mean, they preach a very loose Christianity. You can do anything, live as you please, and then have all kinds of worship. I don't believe that. The Bible talks about in the book of Psalms worshiping Him and the beauty of holiness. But anyway, number one, they removed the distance. Well, I could preach a whole message on that. I mean, seriously, I could preach the whole message tonight, but my whole time is on that one point. Amen. Where are you at tonight? Hey, do you think God's interested in distance? The first question He ever asked in the Old Testament, Adam, where art thou? You know what that question implied? Adam, you're not where you were. Hey Adam, I come to walk with you in the cool of the day as before. That's what the implication is. I'm come down here, we're going to fellowship. Hey Adam, you're not where you used to be. Adam, where are you now? Evidently, Adam, you're distant. Are you listening? Peter followed afar off. You remember that statement I made when I preached on that? Whenever it was, amen, Peter followed afar off. It wasn't his direction that was his problem. It was his distance. He was following, but it was the problem was he wasn't close. Amen. Amen. The devil don't try to get behind you. The devil wants to get between you and the Lord. And the more space you get between you and the Lord, you're opening the door wider and wider, my friend, for the enemy, my friend, to insert in between you and the Lord His agenda and His will. Amen. Best thing you can do, stay close. Amen. I mean, stay real close. I'm talking about touching close. Amen. I mean, stay close where you're just, there's nothing between you and the Lord. Well, I need to go on. I've got some other good things the Lord's give to my heart. Not only remove the distance, but number two, are you listening? Still number two? Well, number two. We're moving good. We're on number two. Not only remove the distance, but you better respond to the direction. Amen. God didn't just throw them out there and say, hey, you need to go worship. No. He provided leadership. Brother Rob, He provided direction. They didn't have to aimlessly wandering around, you know, just wandering from here to there. My friend, God gave them direction. Amen. I want to tell you, if God's going to give you direction on anything, it's to lead you from where you are to where His Son is so that you can worship Him. You've got to have some direction in your life if you're going to worship Jesus. Amen. The Bible said in Romans 8, what is it, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God just gave us an evidence of being saved. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. No leadership, no sonship. Amen. Where's the leadership of the Holy Ghost in a lot of people's lives? What's the, hey, listen, I can't see the Spirit. Amen. I can't see the Spirit in your life. Amen. He's likened unto the wind in John 3. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't see the wind. None of you's ever seen the wind. It's invisible, but you can sure see its effects. Amen. You can't see the wind, but you can see that leaf that the wind's moving. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you the sweet Holy Ghost. I can't see Him in your life, but I can sure see Him moving you. I can see Him, my friend, working in your life. And one of the things He wants to do is to lead you. Oh, we're walking through a world, my friend, that's full of pitfalls. Everywhere you look, there's pitfalls. And we need leadership. Amen. Moses, my friend, walked into Pharaoh's courts and said, let my people go, that we may go and worship. Amen. And you know the story, how the plagues came, and finally Pharaoh said, go. And guess what? Soon as they left out, guess what got in front of them? pillar of fire at night and a pillar of a cloud by day. Amen. You can find in the Bible where it said that God led them through the wilderness. God led them. Amen. To worship God, you must remove the distance. Amen. Oh, I don't like distance. I've been distant from the Lord many times. Amen. And it's a battle to stay close. Are you listening to this preacher? Listen, being close, Brother Rob, isn't easy. It's not automatic. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, there's no buttons on your spirituality. You can't turn it on and off. Remove the distance. Respond to the direction. Are you ready for number three? Are we ready for number three? Number three, not only remove the distance, respond to the direction. Oh, I can preach right there. Hey, this is a whole series right here. Respond to the direction. Number three, request the dominant. Oh, yes. Look at verse number one. The Bible said, and it goes on, and when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he? Watch it, here it comes. That is born, capital, K-I-N-G. Amen. Where is he that is born, king? You know what they said when they come to town? We come to worship and we're requesting a dominant. We are not wanting to be in control. We're wanting a king. Amen. Worship is related to God's kingship in your life. You're not going to worship if you don't want a king. And I'm just going to be honest with you. They didn't want a king in this text. And they don't want a king today. Most people in church, are y'all listening? Most people in church today want a Savior so they can go to heaven when they die. But they don't want a King. They don't want King Jesus. And I'll tell you what, some of them, they don't mind getting too excited about the future King. They don't mind, Brother John, good to have you with us tonight. They don't mind, my friend, that out yonder in that millennial kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They don't mind that. Because see, they won't be in their right now life then. Amen. They just don't want a king now. Now I'll tell you what, you'll never worship unless you want a king. Watch this. Several times down through here, Herod is referred to as a king. But it's a small case, K. When they came to town, when the wise men come to town, they wasn't just looking for the king. They wasn't just wanting to know where a king is at. A king. Not any king will do for a child of God. Amen. Not just any king will do. We're interested in the capital, K-I-N-G, King Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why are we interested in that? We're wanting a king in our life. First 20 years of my life, I was my king. I made the choices of my life. I chose the directions of my life. And I want to tell you what, I wound up in a ditch most of my life. Did things I wished I'd have never done. Regretted it till this day. Are you listening? Battle. I still have battles. Listen, I'm telling you, friend, you can't dabble with sin without it putting footprints and fingerprints in your life. Amen. You get saved. Yes, you get saved. But your flesh is not saved. And that flesh loves filth and sin and corruption. And everything you expose it to in your youth, it will haunt you the rest of your life. If you never taste it, you'll never want it. Amen. Young people, keep yourself pure. Amen. Don't listen to your peers that will call you names and make fun of you if you're not in doing what they're doing. You tell them, say, look here, big boy, I want your friendship. Don't mind you being a friend, but I don't want you to be my king. Amen. Amen. God don't want friends to be your king. God don't want family to be your king. God don't want finances to be your king. God don't want the flesh to be your king. God wants Jesus Christ to be your king. Amen. First thing they wanted when they come to town was, I want to know where the king's at. Hallelujah. And they made it clear what they wanted. For we are come to worship Him. It's amazing, Brother Ivan, how that they hooked up worship with the king. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's why people can't get excited in Christmas time about Jesus. That's why they have to bring in all the little trinkets and all the little doodads and the old jelly-bellied Santa Claus, amen? It's because they can't get excited about Jesus, amen? They say, oh, if we don't have all that garbage, we don't have the Spirit of Christmas. Oh, wait a minute, I thought the Spirit of Christmas was the Holy Spirit. Amen. You better define what Spirit you're talking about. There is a Spirit of Christmas, buddy, that's of this world, amen? And I'll tell you who the king of it is, Herod! It's an effort to kill Jesus. Amen. Request the dominant. We want a king. Amen. I promise you, if you come to the house of God or any other time in your life and you come to Jesus wanting Him to be your king, wanting Him to be your Lord, wanting Him to be your dominant, wanting Him to dominate your life, amen, and have dominion over you, I promise you, worship will be easy. Remove the distance. Respond to the direction. Request the dominant. Are you ready? Fatten didn't kill you, this one will. Render the donations. Amen? Render the donation. The Bible said right here in verse number 11. Look at it. I'm right here, right out of this text. Amen? I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it. Verse number 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts. How many's planning to give Jesus something for His birthday this year? I guarantee there's not a present one of the trees got Jesus' name on it. You tell me we're not sidetracked? You tell me we're not out in left field? How many of you would want to be treated on your birthday the way Jesus is about His? Would we be offended? Would we be upset? Would there be some broken fellowship and friendships? My birthday and nobody gets me nothing, but rather they come and they buy for themselves? Huh? This don't have to be preached. You know it, you can see it, because we're involved in it. Christmas has become so commercialized and so materialized and all of that and so secularized, my friend, that there's very little spirituality left in Christmas. Very little. Very little spiritual emphasis. That's why that churches die during this time of the year. That's why deadness comes in the house of God this time of the year. That's why most people get away from God in Christmas time is because there ain't much spirit left in it. Amen. I know this ain't popular, but I don't care. Amen. That's right. I'm not going to bat for me. I'm not trying to get some points for me. I'm batting for Jesus tonight. Amen. I don't want worship. Amen. I want you to brag on Jesus. I want Him to be your king. Amen. The one thing about it, if He ever becomes your king and you ever worship Him, I want to tell you, He won't ask. He won't ask for it. Jesus wasn't asking for the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus didn't ask for it. They voluntarily gave it. Amen. I've had people and I've heard people down through the years say, well, all they ever talk about is money. But they don't get mad every time they go to Walmart. They go through the counter, go through the line, got that hand out, ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Oh, this is how much it is. They'll go out through there smiling. Didn't get near what it cost you. Amen. $75, you can hold it in a lunch bag. Amen. Amen. You go out there smiling and say, I'll be back. Amen. Go to church. Go to church. And if a preacher mentions anything about tithing or about offerings or about faith promise giving, I want to tell you, they get to pooch your lip. I'll tell you all they ever talk about is money. I'll tell you why you're bothered about that if there's somebody here like that. Hey, you're bothered because you're guilty. I've never in 28 years got offended somebody preaching on giving. Never, 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 never. Never, 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 never. Do I need to say that some more? Amen. That they render the donations. Woo! Amen. You want to kill a Baptist, shoot him in the hip pocket. Amen. He'll bleed to death before he gets to the car. You say, that ain't where his heart is. Oh, yeah, it is. Where his heart is, that's where his treasure is. Well, anyway. Render the donation. Let's go off on a positive note then, a little bit. Which I thought that is positive. Amen. They just wanted to give. They weren't told to give. They weren't forced to give. They just wanted to. You know why? They associated worship with it. Amen. There's a church down in North Carolina. And I mean, they've done it for years. When the pastor says, all right, ushers, if you will come, we're going to take up the offering. Everybody in the church, now I'm talking about close to 300 people, everybody in the church stands to their feet. Amen! Hallelujah! Glory to God! They do it every service. Every service. Now would you like to have that to go on in your church? God loveth a cheerful giver. And they get cheerful. I mean, they worship the fact that, hey, praise God, we're going to get to give. We're going to get to present something to the King. Amen? Render the donation number 10, verse 10. I should have mentioned this one before that one. Verse number 10, rejoice in the divine. If we're going to worship, remove the distance, respond to direction, request the dominant, render the donation, and rejoice in the divine. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Amen. Does the divine fire you up any? Amen. I ask a good question right there. When's the last time you got excited about something divine? When's the last time, and I'm still in the tape, when's the last time you got excited about something supernatural? They saw His star, and praise God, the Bible says it, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Amen. Rejoice over the divine. You know what's missing in our church? In the element of worship? Rejoicing. Worship is vocal. Amen. Worship is internal, but is also external. They worship with exceeding great joy. I like that song. I got it open right here. I ain't going to sing it. I wouldn't want to run the Holy Ghost off. Amen. But joy to the world. Probably one of the most... And by the way, that's a beautiful song. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and so on. Verse 2, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Amen. Oh, friend, this is a joyful time. But listen, did you know that during Christmas time, depression is at an all-time high? Right, 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 right. Are you listening? And I mean, I even battle it. Well, I mean, this time of the year, I can't help but get to think about Mom and Daddy and boy, all those wonderful years we had at Christmas with the family. I'm telling you, it was the highlight of our year, buddy, getting together as a family and having a wonderful time. And I tell you, Mom and Daddy, they went all out. I mean, no, nothing held back. Everything that could be decorated was decorated. It looked like, and my wife will tell you, it looked like something you see in a magazine. Even in the basement. I mean, she had the pipes decorated. I'm serious. I mean, you couldn't go nowhere in Montessori. Well, anyway, I don't mean to get on none of that. But I mean, it was a wonderful time of the year. And even now, I get to thinking, well, you know, it's Christmas. Mom and Daddy's gone. You know? And all them memories, you know, it's all of God. Boy, I'm telling you right now, buddy, it's hard not to get all bent out of shape over that. Are you listening? Hey, if you still got your mom and daddy, you better thank Jesus for that. I don't want to get emotional right here, but I want to tell you, you would not know what I'd be willing to give if I could go to mom and daddy's house for Christmas this year. Are you listening? Probably won't never even be back in that house. Probably won't never be back in that house. Amen? I'm talking about, listen, depression is not supposed to be a part of Christmas. Rejoicing is supposed to be a part of Christmas. I can't rejoice because mom and daddy's gone. I can rejoice where they're at. Amen. I can rejoice that I will see them again. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Praise God. But I can't rejoice over the fact that they're gone. There's sorrow there. There's grievance there. There's emptiness there. But mom and daddy's not the meaning of Christmas. Jesus is. And I can rejoice. I can rejoice about the Son of God. I can rejoice about the Son of God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Oh, if you've got to have this and that and the other to rejoice, what are you going to do when that dies? What are you going to do when that other thing, my friend, you lose it or it quits running or whatever? I want to tell you, if you're rejoicing, it's all about Jesus. You'll never have to worry about losing Him. You'll never have to worry about Him dying. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Oh, I'm talking about rejoicing. Woo! Glory! Amen. Come on now. Some of you young people, you get up Christmas morning, there'll probably be a smile on your face if you get what you want. And if it's the right size. And if it's the right color. And it's better than what everybody else has got. Yeah. I want to tell you a little secret right here. For a real, genuine, born-again, heaven-bound child of God, amen, you don't have to buy me nothing, hallelujah, because I've already been given the gift of all gifts, the unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Hey, hallelujah, bless His holy, wonderful name. Amen, rejoice. Rejoice! Yeah, the world's going to do their rejoicing. Yeah, they're going to do theirs. But why don't we do ours? Yeah, amen. Amen. Last of all, number 6. Worship! I'm going to go through them again quickly. Not going to preach them, just give them to you. Make sure you got them. Remove the distance. Respond to the direction. Request the dominant. Render the donations. Rejoice in the divine. I like this one, I tell you, verse 12. Last, I'm talking about worship. Wise people worship. The wise people, wise men still seek God. Wise people still are interested where God is. But worship last results in a difference. Worship results in a difference. Look at verse number 12. This is right following the verse that said that they worshiped Him. Look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Here's my point. They departed into their own country another way. Amen. You can't worship and be the same. Worship will change you. And that's why a lot of people probably don't worship. Is they don't want changed. Amen. But was that difference worth it where they were at? Watch this right here. Lord, just show them something. Of course, they thought Herod was serious. You know, tell me, go find him. Tell me where he's at, that I may go and worship him also. He wasn't interested in worship. He was interested in killing Jesus. Amen. In fact, he put it out to kill all the boy babies from 2 years old and under. In Matthew 2, Jesus wasn't a baby in a manger. The Bible said they went into the house. Amen. Jesus was probably close to around a year and a half, between a year and a half and 2 years old at this point. That's why Herod said, I tell you what, when did y'all see that star? They told him. He said, I want you to go kill all the boy babies from 2 years old and under. And after they worshipped Him, watch this right here. After they worshipped Him, God spoke to them and said, "Did not go back to Herod." Showed him that he was lying. Showed him the intent of his heart and so forth. Showed them that. And my friend, and they departed another way. Had not they departed another way, think of the results. When we fail to let worship make us different, make a difference in our life, we are giving the devil the upper hand. Amen! Watch this right here. Had not they worshipped and departed another way, they would have played right into the plan of the enemy. How many people fail to worship and fail to be made different? And they go out right out the same way they come in. No different at work. No different at home. Talk the same. Do the same. Amen. People, you know, they stand up and testify and we'll start doing better. Where's it at? Amen. I mean, I think I have as a pastor the right, when somebody makes a testimony that they're going to do better, I want to start seeing some evidence. Amen. Amen. I think I'm going to start, when people start asking for forgiveness at the church, I'll say, all right, we'll wait 2 or 3 weeks before we do it. Amen. Confession's cheap, friend. Anybody confess something, do something with it. Be different. Bring forth meat, fruit, meat for repentance. Amen. Bring forth fruit. Bring forth some evidence that you changed. The Bible said they went a different way. Have you worshipped God lately? Have you privately worshipped God? When's the last time you privately worshipped God? Nobody around. Nobody around. Just you. Going down the road, taking a shower, out in the yard, out in the woods, wherever. Just in your heart, worship God. Amen. Devil can't stop you from worshiping. They can put a gun in your face and tell you they'll blow your head off if you worship. You can stand right there, if you're strong enough, spiritual enough. You can stand right there looking down that gun barrel and love on Jesus. Amen. And they won't know. Amen. People don't want the difference. That's why they don't want to worship. God got real to them. God got real to them after they worshiped. And He spoke to them and He showed them what was going on. Watch this right here and I'm done. You have the wise men in chapter 2. Then you got Herod in chapter 2. And then right down in verse, 2 or 3 or 4, right through there, you have the chief priests and scribes. Right there in chapter 2. Listen, the wise men came from one fellow said between 500 and 1,000 miles away. all the way to Jerusalem to worship Jesus. While there was religious chief priests and scribes less than 6 miles away, making no efforts at all, no interest at all of worshiping Him. Religious scribes, chief priests, scribes, religious crowd, not interested in worshiping Jesus. Well, if that's not up to date, there's religious apathy. Brother, they won't walk across the street hardly to worship God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's right. But then here comes them wise men. They tell me, some people tell me that they were Gentiles. Whether they were or not, I don't know. I don't know how they prove all that. And I read one today said that there was probably some of those that was in the Babylonian captivity that after the captivity was over, they decided to stay in Babylon. Boy, if that's not up to date. Though they weren't what they supposed to be, them three, I know that tradition says they were kings, but we don't know that. There's no verse to prove that. That's dreamed up. They were wise men. They were astrologers. They were stargazers. Amen. But you know what? Let me just try to close this right here. You have the wise men. They're coming to worship God. You have that religious crowd ignoring God. And then you have Herod that wants to kill God. All three of them is still alive today. There are a few. There are a few. I know tradition says there was three of them, but we don't even know if that's the truth. They could have been a pile of them. They get three because they get gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's three gifts, probably three of them. But they could have been a pile of them. Who knows? We know there's at least two. Amen. But here's the point. You have the wise men that worships God. Then you have that religious crowd that ignores God. They're not interested. They're not interested. Jesus was born and not far away, and guess what? They wouldn't even make no efforts to go see Him. And they knew about the star. They knew about the verse in Numbers. They knew it. They knew all the facts. And here Jesus has come to earth, and they made no efforts to go. There's a bunch of religious world don't want to worship Jesus. There's a bunch that goes to church don't want to worship Jesus. Amen. Why do we go if we don't want to worship? Is that a good question? God don't want the house of God to be a war zone. Lord help us, I've seen it. God don't want that. Fuss and divided and all that. God don't want that. God wants us to make a big deal out of the King. Worship Him. Give Him honor and glory. Amen. See, if Jesus is the dominant, if Jesus is the King and everybody focuses their attention on Him, it brings an automatic unity and a oneness to God's people. When division comes in, it's when other things has got into the picture besides Jesus. Amen. Wise people still worship. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, I ask You in Jesus' name to take the message, Lord, that You gave to my heart this afternoon. Lord, I thank You for it and had the good liberty to preach it. Lord, felt a fire in my soul. Lord, I believe that we underestimate just how important worship is. Lord, when we look at all that You did to purchase our salvation, least we can do is to worship You. Worship You with our lives. Worship You, Lord, with our time, our treasures. Lord, just take the message tonight and seal it to our hearts. Lord, this church will go to the next level when we go to the next level of worship. Lord, I don't want surface, superficial, shallow worship. Worship that doesn't last till they get home. Worship that seemingly does not last till the next service. Something is wrong with that. Those wise men, I believe that it could be stated clearly that they never was the same after they got close and worshiped King Jesus. Lord, help these young people to realize just how crucial and how important and how influential worship is. Lord, there's people in this building tonight, visitors and members alike, young and old alike, there's people in this building really probably could not remember the last time that they probably worshiped. They probably can remember the last time they complained. Probably could remember the last time that they murmured. Probably remember the last time they got mad. But I wonder, Lord, can we remember the last time that we worshiped You? Father, use the message. God, I believe the ingredient that's missing in Christmas today and has been for years, and it's getting worse and worse here in our country, is worship. Worship. And Lord, I can understand the world not worshiping Jesus because they don't want a king that'll rule with righteousness. They don't want that. But Lord, I don't understand why worship is not a powerful force in the house of God. And I believe those simple little points that You gave to my heart, I believe really describes a lot of the reasons why people don't worship. That first one probably is the deal, just distant. But may people be willing to remove the distance. Father, please have Your way in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.